Welcome to the V-Gains Fitness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 8. I am the muscle deficient vegan here with the protein deficient vegan. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Hi. So happy new year, everybody. Today is January 1st, 2024. January, if you don't know, also starts Veganuary, which is in the month of January. People will try a plant-based diet or try out the vegan lifestyle if they're maybe thinking about transitioning to something like that.
And did you know a lot of people that try out Veganuary actually stay vegan?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah. So in the spirit of Veganuary, we're going to go over some kind of tips and tricks for going plant-based.
Over the years, I've gotten a lot of questions about, like, don't you have cravings for meat and dairy products? Which I think is a pretty normal question because a lot of people are omnivorous before they decide to go plant-based. So we've put together, like, a list of our favorite swaps for like condiments, meat, cheeses.
So for condiments, we've got Follow Your Heart mayonnaise and Follow Your Heart ranch dressing. You can find both of those at the grocery store. They're both really good substitutions.
Yeah, I think I like the ranch dressing even better than like Hidden Valley, honestly.
Yeah, the ranch dressing is actually really good. Then for some meat alternatives, there's a brand called Gardein, G-A-R-D-E-I-N, that makes a whole lot of stuff like
Fish fillets,
chicken tenders, obviously not real fish or chicken, just vegan substitutions.
Crab cakes.
Oh, their crab cakes are really
good. Like their seafood alternatives are probably the best we've found.
Yeah.
And they also have a lot of good like fake chicken stuff.
Yeah. There's also a cool brand called Meaty that's kind of new, but they use mushroom root and make it kind of like a fake pulled meat type situation.
Yeah, honestly, the texture is so close for what I can remember that I don't like it.
I like it. It's really good in tacos.
The next one is Morningstar, which has been around forever. And when I was a vegetarian and a little kid, I had Morningstar all the time. They still have a lot of really good vegan meat alternatives. Like their veggie corn dogs are fire.
Yeah. Also, you've probably heard of Beyond and Impossible for burger patties. I think they're pretty interchangeable. They both are patties of fake meat, so you can use them the same way you would use any other patty of meat.
I think they also have like sausages and stuff.
Yeah,
not really my cup of tea. Yeah. I just don't really like that stuff.
They're not outstanding, but they fit the bill if you really need to substitute in hamburgers or something.
Yeah, if you're really missing it, I think it'll do.
Yeah. Also, for something like sandwiches, a tofurkey deli slices are pretty good. It's basically tofu shaped like deli turkey slices.
Yeah.
So
the macros are good too, I think.
Yeah, they have a pretty high protein.
Yeah.
So also plant-based jerkies. There's the Louisville Vegan Jerky Company. They make a lot of good vegan jerky. One of my favorite flavors is the Smoky Carolina Barbecue. And for another primary protein source, Satan is a great option. We really like the Blackbird brand of Satan. You can get it in some stores, but we just order it from their website. They do mail order. They have a really good barbecue flavor.
Ooh, yeah. That one's my favorite.
Yeah. And the original flavor is good. We use in like stir fries and stuff like that.
Yeah. The barbecue one, we just straight up eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like little cave people.
Yeah, it's really easy to cook. It's probably, I mean, if you're looking for a meat substitute that's really easy to cook, you basically... They're actually pre-cooked, so you just kind of heat them back up in a pan or something, and you can just eat it like a big pile of pulled meat. Next, we have some cheese substitutions. So Follow Your Heart has a bunch of good cheeses. One of the ones we really like is their Parmesan.
Yeah, it browns really good in the oven, so we like to use it on like casseroles. It's good on pizzas, too.
Yeah, and that's like a grated Parmesan.
I wouldn't use it in anything cold. Like, you definitely want to heat this one up because it's like the texture is like so on point when it's baked.
Also, if you're looking for a block of Parmesan, we like Veal Life for that.
Yes, and we also like Peaceful Rebel.
Oh, yeah.
They have a pretty good Parmesan block, and it's made out of tofu, so
yeah,
it doesn't have, like, crazy amounts of protein, but it definitely has more than any of the other ones.
Yeah, that's a new one we've just recently tried, but I really like it. Also, for shredded cheeses, like your, like, Mexican cheese or shredded cheddars, we typically use Veal Life for those. They've actually got a Mexican flavor and a cheddar, you know, flavor, and a couple other ones as well. Mozzarella, I think they even have a mozzarella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We really like it on, like, nachos, quesadillas. I also like adding it to tofu scramble. It gives it, like, a little bit extra texture.
Yeah, it kind of holds it together really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daiya also has decent shredded cheese.
It used to suck, but it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then for making pizzas and casseroles, the Miyoko's liquid mozzarella.
It is so good. It browns, but it's also like nice and creamy. And you don't normally get that with mozzarella. Normally it's like oily.
Yeah.
And gets kind of like liquidy and disgusting. But like this one bakes really nice and it tastes great on pizza or casseroles. And they didn't really have them in stores, but I've seen them in a lot more stores now.
Yeah, it was really hard to find other than just ordering online for a while, but we've seen it a couple places now. Also, Miyoko's has some artisan cheeses, so there's a couple special ones we use for different sauces and things like that.
The sun-dried tomato one is super awesome because you can just literally heat it up with your favorite plant-based milk and you have an instant like pasta sauce.
Yeah.
One of our favorites is Nuts for Cheese. They have some really good artisan cheese wedges, and they all taste really good on like crackers. They just spread really nice.
Yeah, and then there's a company here local to Chicago called Cheese and Thank You that has a bunch of really good options. They can also be found in Whole Foods, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
and if you're lucky enough to live close to Chicago, they have pop-ups, and you can try out other random crap they don't sell at the store.
Yeah. Also, if you like feta cheese, Follow Your Heart has some feta crumbles that you can put on pretty much all the same things.
Yeah, I really like it on salads or like even heated up. It's really good.
Yeah, and then cream cheese, Violife has a cream cheese, but also Philadelphia has some cream cheeses coming out now that are vegan, and those are pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like Violife and Philadelphia are really similar.
Yeah.
Really good for bagels. Probably don't cook with these because they're coconut oil based and they will turn into actual liquid. So if you're going to cook, probably use the Miyoko's cream cheese. And the texture is like a little more grainy than the other ones. It's not as smooth, but it tastes good.
Yeah. Oh, and then if you're looking for sliced cheese, we don't use this very often, but Follow Your Heart does have some sliced cheese. And actually Kraft just recently came out with sliced vegan cheeses. So they're actually pretty good. I think that's probably the go-to from now on.
Yeah. They don't melt exactly the same as real cheese unless if you add water to your pan after you put it on like a burger or something and then put the cheese on top and then you add like a spritz of water and cover the pan, it has enough humidity to actually get the cheese to melt. And then it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. All right. So that's all the cheese options we have. There's a lot of other ones out there. Those are just the ones that we've tried a lot of them. So those are just the ones we kind of keep coming back to.
Yeah.
Next, we have a bunch of snack options. So one of the weird things when you kind of switch to going vegan or plant-based is, you know, the big substitutions like the ones we just talked about are a problem. But really, day-to-day, one of the trickier things is trying to figure out what snacks you like now.
Just like most of the bigger snack brands are not vegan. And sometimes they'll just have like tiny amounts of milk powder or something that's in them. And that makes them not vegan, even though everything else is vegan. So that's annoying.
Yeah, we do have a couple we found that are good, and more are coming out every day, right? But there's a brand called Lesser Evil that actually has really good snacks. I think you like the white cheddar popcorn a lot.
Yeah. Not all of their snacks are vegan, but they do have a couple really good vegan ones.
Yeah, okay. Also, if you like chocolate, there's a lot of really good vegan chocolate now. Plant-based Reese's Cups, plant-based Hershey Bars, Lindt Chocolate has a couple of oat-based chocolates. They actually have some new oat truffles that are really good. And then there's another brand called Unreal that does some chocolates. They have some peanut butter cups and some chocolate bars also.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then for ice cream, we have a lot of ice cream choices nowadays. And I really like the Ben & Jerry's non-dairy ones. I feel like they're just as good as the original dairy ones.
Those are my favorite, and I can't tell a difference between those and the dairy ones.
I can't either. Yeah. And then Breyers has a really good non-dairy vanilla that's made with oat milk.
Oh, yeah. That vanilla is super good.
I think it's better than any vanilla I've ever had.
Yeah, I think the Breyers oat milk vanilla is like the ice cream you should put on top of a pie or something.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Good. Yeah.
And then Nadamu has pints that are really good. Lots of different flavors. So Delicious has good ice cream bars. And then we actually just tried a brand that's pretty new called Wicked, and their ice cream bars are pretty good, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Wicked ones were really good. They had a strawberry one that was super good. Well,
oh, Berry White.
Yeah, Berry White was the flavor
name.
It
was awesome.
It was really good. And then for cookies, Oreo has some vegan flavors. Nutter Butters are vegan. And then there's a brand called Sweet Lorenz. It's just like cookie dough you need to bake, but they're vegan. And then there's a cool snack called Drizzlicious we get off Amazon. But it's basically just like a tiny rice cake drizzled in vegan chocolate.
Yeah, and they come in like 100-calorie snack packs, so they're really good if you're like, you know, trying to manage your calories too.
Yeah.
But still want something sweet.
Right. So now that we got all the very unhealthy snacks out of the way, I mean, obviously we don't eat a lot of this stuff, but you know, everybody's got to have something around you. You're going to go crazy. So anyway, we also have protein bars. So vegan protein bars are varied.
Yes. And we very much disagree with each other on protein bars.
Yeah. So I actually like the no-cow protein bars.
Because he has horrible taste.
But they're like a soft chew protein bar instead of like a hard dry protein
bar. They're so disgusting, actually.
Well, they have a lot of flavors and I really like them. So
anyways, it's okay to be wrong sometimes. But if you want something that tastes good, I would go with Misfits or the Bear Bell plant-based bars.
Yeah, Bear Bell are actually really good. Not as good as no-cow, but Bear Bell are good.
Okay.
Okay. Also, you're probably eventually going to want to go eat at a restaurant and not make food or eat food at your house at least once or twice a year, right? So it's kind of tricky to find vegan options at some restaurants.
Yeah.
There are a couple, though, that are pretty reliable for being able to go and pick up some, you know, food relatively quickly and be consistent.
Yeah. Like if you're traveling or like you're desperate.
Yeah.
Taco Bell or Chipotle have pretty decent options.
Yeah.
And then if you don't already have this app, you should get it. It's called Happy Cow. And it's kind of like Google reviews, but it's just for vegans and vegetarians, and it has saved us many times.
Yeah, Happy Cow, ever since we found it, has really changed the game on how we can eat while we travel. I mean, it's still not amazing, right? It's still hard to find places, yes. But Happy Cow will at least show you all the options.
Right. It doesn't create options, but it shows you what's there.
Yeah. And there's actually, in a lot of places, there's a lot more there than you would think. So it's been super helpful and highly recommend.
The next thing you might run into is just social settings, like whether it's family gatherings, social outings, work functions and stuff, where there just aren't going to be plant-based options. So it's important to have conversations up front, like letting people know your dietary restrictions or bringing your own food. But especially if you're going to do it long-term, you definitely want to have a plan for those.
Yeah. I agree. And also, the bulk of what you're probably going to be eating as a vegan is going to be stuff that you cook yourself. There's not enough, packaged, prepared, especially healthy food out there to really sustain you a lot. Especially, I mean, it's going to be expensive if you try to do it that way.
Oh, yeah. Especially the meat and dairy substitutions can get really pricey.
Yeah. So, I mean, you really want to probably get pretty comfortable with cooking your own food.
Yeah.
And how to use spices. And, I mean, you definitely go out there and experiment. Try some things. You know, we've tried some of that and it's worked out pretty well.
Yep. So.
But, just get a little comfortable. You can make some easy things at first. You know, obviously, we have a lot of recipes on the website you can go through and try. But you should really get adventurous with cooking your own food.
Yeah, for sure. Especially since a lot of restaurants, the vegan options are trash.
Yes.
And you can almost always make something better at home than you can at a restaurant. Unless you're going to, like, a vegan-specific restaurant where they actually have vegan chefs.
Yeah, most standard restaurants, the vegan option is just to take all the protein and calories off of the dish and give you the lettuce that's left over.
Right.
So that's
not a very sad way to live.
Speaking of protein, so protein is one thing that you obviously will want to focus on, especially if you have fitness goals. And on a vegan diet, your protein sources are going to be a lot different than they are. Basically, none of the stuff you used for protein, probably as an omnivore, is going to be stuff you can use for protein on a vegan diet.
Yeah. So if you are switching from omnivore to plant-based and you're just taking out all of your animal proteins and all of your animal-derived products and you're not adding in anything new like plant-based proteins, you are probably going to be deficient.
Yeah. I mean, swapping to like beans and lentils will only get you so far. And it's probably sufficient protein to be healthy, but it's going to be a pretty low protein diet unless you intentionally seek out the primary protein sources that vegans use, which are like TVP, tofu, seitan, tempeh, and wheat gluten are the primary, like very high protein percentage sources. And if you are unclear with how to use TVP or tofu, which are two of our favorites, we've actually got dedicated articles on the website about each of those now.
Yep, and creative ways to use them.
Yeah.
Now, on to plant-based versus vegan. They're used pretty interchangeably, but and dietary-wise, they're almost the same, but other intents and purposes, they are not the same.
So plant-based usually does mean, in terms of food, it does mean vegan. But some things that are marked plant-based, or even some people who say, I'm following a plant-based diet, that can mean predominantly plant-based, but they still include some animal products. So you do want to be careful. Not everything that says plant-based is 100% vegan. And, plant-based really just focuses on the food. So if somebody says they're plant-based, they're probably not following a vegan lifestyle and things outside of food.
Yeah, it's usually for like health purposes. You might go plant-based or maybe like environmental impact.
Right.
Now, veganism, that's a lifestyle and people are vegans for ethical reasons around, animals.
Yeah.
Which we won't go into all of that here. Lots of good articles you could read.
Yeah.
But we will talk about some of the things you might want to look out for if you are trying out veganism, because there's a lot of hidden animal-derived stuff in a lot of different things.
Things like, that really blow your mind sometimes. Like, why did they use this and this thing? It doesn't matter.
It makes no sense. Like, clothing, accessories, shoes, you really got to be careful what you buy. Specifically around, like, shoes and purses.
Yeah. They put the obvious thing is leather, right? But there's way more than that.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, silk and down or feathers, suede, animal-derived glues.
Yeah, the glues are
and dyes.
Crazy.
Yeah, so like shoes, you want to make sure you're getting vegan shoes. Even if they don't use leather, they might still not be vegan. So there are lots of good comprehensive lists out there that talk about like which shoes, which purses are leather. I don't know a lot about shoes and purses, so you're going to have to Google that.
Some of the brands are coming around. Some of the bigger brands like Nike do have a couple of vegan shoe options. So.
Hoka has some really good, you know, athletic shoes. Yeah. The next one is like beauty products and cosmetics. Those can be kind of hard to figure out because you might see like a cruelty-free label, which actually doesn't necessarily mean it's vegan. It could just mean they don't test on animals, but they still use animal products, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
But that's just something. They're also like good lists for what is and isn't vegan. And a lot of stores have like a filter. You can filter products by what's vegan now.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I know that's historically been kind of one of the harder things to track down the source of and what was really done through production and things like that.
Yeah. On food, there's some like hidden non-vegan ingredients like honey, gelatin, anything fortified with lanolin. You'd find that in like cereals.
Yeah.
So basically, those aren't vegan. You know, watch out for those. Pretty much includes any gummy bears, gummy worms. They do make vegan ones, but just stuff to keep an eye out for.
So a lot of alcohol is also not vegan. Beers and wines and, you know, liquors, some of those can be vegan, some of them can't. I think your best bet is probably just to Google the ones you like and see whether they're vegan or not.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nuance in there.
We don't drink enough to give you advice on that. Another weird one is toilet paper. That just blows my mind, but most toilet papers are not vegan.
Yeah, that was really surprising, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, you still have to wipe in public, but like at home, maybe try a vegan toilet paper brand.
Yeah.
We really like Who Gives a Crap.
So yeah, if this sounds interesting to you and you're curious about some of these swaps and different types of substitutions and just generally about plant-based, we actually put together a free ebook on the website. I'll put the link to it in the show notes, or you can just go to the website and you'll see a pop-up and you can get it that way. It also includes a macro cheat sheet for your macronutrients, like we talked about last week. It's got a weekly meal plan inspiration, which is basically like a base weekly meal plan, but you can add some stuff to it to get a little more calories out of it.
Yeah, it's like each day is around 1,500 to 1,750 calories with about 120 grams of protein.
Yeah.
That's obviously not going to work for everyone.
Yeah.
Most people are going to eat more than that. So
it's just to show you how to get your protein at least guaranteed using, you know, some of our recipes, admittedly. But, you know, you do get pie almost every day with this meal plan.
No, you get it every day. Well, pie or cheesecake.
Yeah, you get pie or cheesecake every day with this meal plan. Still hit your protein goals and your calorie goals and have room to spare on your calories. So beat that.
What more could you want?
Right. So we also have 12 recipes in the book. You might have already heard of some of them because we talk about them here also. But if you're new to the podcast, we'll talk about, you know, kind of which ones we've included in the book here for the meal plan. So we've got first the blueberry, high protein blueberry smoothie bowl.
Yep. And that's just normal smoothie bowl, except we used extra firm silk and tofu. And you could, of course, use this recipe as like a base and switch out, you know, whatever fruit you want to use.
Next up, we've got a tofu scramble. So if you're used to scrambling eggs in the morning as an omnivore, tofu scramble is a really great substitution, just as easy to make and super delicious. You can even make it look like eggs by putting some turmeric on it.
Yeah. And you could make a pretty big batch of it and just kind of eat it throughout the week.
We also have TVP protein pumpkin craisin muffins.
These are super good.
And they are super good. We were a little surprised the first time we tried TVP for muffins at how well they turned out. But, I mean, they're just as good as any other breakfast muffin, and they're healthy. So,
yeah, keep me full. For some lunch options, we have a high-protein crab rangoon dip. You could put this in a tortilla or eat it with tortilla chips, but it's a really good, easy lunch option. And you can pack it, and you don't need to heat it up because you eat it cold.
Yeah. So. This is also a good one for maybe a snack. We've also got a high-protein black bean pumpkin quesadilla. So if you like quesadillas, we got you covered here. Black bean and pumpkin, if you haven't tried a lot of pumpkin-flavored things, you might be like, what the hell is that going to taste like?
It's good, though.
I can tell you, it tastes really great. Pumpkin, you can't really taste the pumpkin when you cook it like this. It just kind of makes it a little sweeter and more moist.
So. Yeah, and adds some veggies.
Yeah, it's really delicious, though.
It's super quick to make, too. Next up is a high-protein tofu salad. This has a ranch dressing that we actually made out of tofu. And then it also has tofu crumbles. So I really like it. I think the ranch tastes pretty similar to normal ranch dressing.
Yeah, it's really good. It tastes, I think I like it better than the Follow Your Heart Ranch we talked about earlier, honestly. But, you know, you had to make it every time. So
yeah, and it doesn't keep for like, you know, two months or anything.
Yeah, because of the tofu, it doesn't stay as long as the normal ranch does. Next, we have a high-protein garlicky mushroom Alfredo. So if you like pasta, this is like a nice heavy pasta that's going to keep you full, but it's high protein, got a lot of garlic in it. And if you like mushrooms, this is loaded with them. So
yes, and mushrooms are pretty good in protein. So
that's true. Yeah, and delicious.
And delicious, so good.
Also got a high protein pasta primavera. So this has a ton of veggies into it. And what's the sauce?
The sauce is made out of extra firm silken tofu too. It's kind of like a cheesy Alfredo sauce.
Yeah.
But this one's fun because you can basically customize it any way you want. Like if there are veggies on this that you don't like, you can swap them out with something else.
Yeah.
Make a different kind every week.
Yeah, mix and match.
Yep.
We also have a high-protein stuffed portobello mushroom. So this is basically a huge portobello mushroom cap stuffed with a bunch of TVP.
Yeah, and Parmesan and, like, spinach.
Yeah.
It's freaking delicious.
Yeah, these mushrooms, when they cook this way, are just, like, so moist.
Yeah, and you don't have to rehydrate the TVP first. You just, like, mix it in and, I don't know, it cooks really well.
Yeah.
And it takes like 5 minutes of actual work.
Yeah, pretty fast.
Yeah.
And then into the dessert / snack section, if you want to call it that. I mean, they're high protein, but high protein dessert is a thing, no? So we got a high protein triple chocolate cheesecake.
I love this thing more than anything.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, I think I could sit down and eat this whole thing at once if I really needed to.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Easily. I could also eat the next one, which is the peanut butter chocolate protein cheesecake.
Yeah, peanut butter, chocolate, basically a big high protein Reese's pie.
Yeah, right? It's ridiculous. I can't even believe it has like tofu in it. It's stupid good. Actually, we got our family to try the chocolate cheesecake.
Yeah.
And they liked it.
Yeah. And again, no protein powder in these. It's all tofu, TVP. And the peanut butter one actually uses a PB Fit peanut butter powder, which is still natural. It's just, you know, kind of crushed up peanuts and...
Yeah, I don't know if they take some of the fat out, I think. Yeah, it's really good, though.
Next up, we have a chocolate and vanilla pudding pie. Basically, we've got separate recipes for chocolate pudding and vanilla pudding using silken tofu. So we just kind of combine those together into a pudding pie. And then we've got this, like, peanut butter powdered sugar crumble, and we just sprinkle it on top. And it goes on, like, a normal cookie crust. So it's really good if you like pudding pies.
It's only 20% protein, but... You know, you pair it with some of the higher protein dishes throughout the day and you can get away with it.
Yeah. Well, where are you going to find another pudding pie that's anywhere near 20% protein?
I don't think they make those.
So if you were going to try out the meal plan that we put in the ebook, it's also got a shopping list included so that you can just get everything at once in one trip. All right. So that's it for this week. Next week, we are going to talk about micronutrients. Hopefully, I know if you have been following along, maybe you're expecting that this week. But there's a lot going on in micronutrients, so we'll make sure we have time to kind of get that information into a form that makes sense and just get the relevant things out of it for you. So we will try to tackle that between now and then. So check out our website. And if you have any questions, as always, feel free to reach out. You can reach out through the contact form on the website, through the social medias we have in the show notes, or at podcast@vgainsfitness.com. Well, do you want to say bye?
Bye.
Bye, everybody.